advisement. Our final case this morning is JMS Development against Bulk Petroleum.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. The underlying case involved two properties. One was the Zaltzman property. The other was an adjacent parcel of property owned by JMS. In connection with resolving issues in the underlying action, two consent decrees were executed by Bulk and Mr. Dhaliwal, and for purposes of the argument this morning, I'll refer to
I'm not sure why we're here. Why is this a final decision? Has the district court yet quantified how much her client has to pay?
Indeed it has, Your Honor. In fact, I recently filed a supplemental appendix with both orders.
No, actually, that's not how much her client has to pay. That's how much your client has to put in escrow against the day when an amount your client owes will be determined. In other words, it's a bond requirement. Has the district court determined how much your client owes the other side?
I believe it's an open question insofar as, Your Honor, the invoices are coming in on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, the invoices are coming in. It's a pretty fundamental principle of practice that a judicial decision of liability is not appealable. Only after the amount has been quantified can an appeal be taken.
Well, and I would submit, Your Honor, that JMS did quantify that figure. In fact, JMS provided the magistrate judge with an exact figure of what he thought the remediation was going to cost.
It's a bond requirement, counsel. The amount is not being turned over to your adversary. It's being posted as security. You agree that at some future time, the district judge will determine how much exactly your client owes, right?
No, Your Honor, in terms of the escrow order that was entered by the magistrate judge pursuant to the district court's order, there is a mechanism by which the parties are, remediation is proceeding, and a mechanism by which invoices are submitted and objections are lodged, and money is taken out of the account on a regular ongoing basis.
You know, objections are lodged, adjudication will occur, sometime in the future we'll determine what the total expense was and what the total tab is. As I say, it's as fundamental as it comes. The judge has said your client is liable. We have yet to determine how much because the work is ongoing.
Right. And
no appeal may be taken from a judgment of liability until it's been quantified down to the last penny. Something the Supreme Court held loudly, for example, in Liberty Mutual against Wetzel.
Well, JMS seemed to submit that it could quantify down in the last penny what the remediation was going to cost and advise the magistrate judge accordingly. And based on the representations of JMS and its environmental consultant, the magistrate judge entered a schedule by which deposits were to be made in escrow and monies were going to be released from the escrow account. We do maintain that jurisdiction is proper in this court.
By the way, I noticed that you didn't appeal from that order, which isn't even an order of the district court. It's a recommendation of the magistrate judge.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Which renders you thought that was the final order. You had to go to the district court, that is, the district judge, the Article III judge, get the Article III judge to enter a judgment based on it, and then appeal from that.
Well, it is a final order, Your Honor, and to the extent that no objection was lodged as to that particular order under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 72B. In other words, if 10 days had passed after the magistrate entered that particular order in August, it is now final and appealable. During the course of the pendency of this appeal, JMS, two orders were entered, one related to the escrow account and procedures governing withdrawals and deposits, and a second order was entered by the magistrate judge in August 2002 regarding the amount to be deposited into the escrow account and the timetable for those deposits. To the extent that the February 2002 order from the district court was not final, it became final during the pendency of this appeal with the entry of those two orders that are both now final and unappealable orders.
Is there any way that a penny more than is in escrow could be necessary?
I believe, Your Honor, the escrow order that was eventually entered by the magistrate judge in June of 2002 did provide for that in the event of additional funds becoming necessary.
Client will have to fund up more, and if they spend less, your client will get the difference back. This is basically work being done on open account. We need to figure out what the bottom line is.
So the 150 was not a cap.
The 150 was not a cap.
Not an agreed cap or a cap that was disputed. It was not a cap.
It was not a cap under the district court's order, Your Honor. The magistrate judge subsequently entered an order requiring not just the 150, but an additional $200,000.
That wasn't a cap either, though, was it? Because it had a mechanism that was provided for it to go higher.
There is that mechanism in the escrow order. That's correct, Your Honor. All that said, JMS did submit its representations of its own environmental consultant indicating what it thought the remediation was going to cost, and that's what the magistrate judge based its order on when it determined that $352,000 should be deposited in escrow by Bulk and Mr. Dhaliwal. Aside from the jurisdictional issue raised by JMS, it's significant to note that at no time during the pendency of some 3.5 years of JMS's petitions for rule to show cause, the petitions for attorney's fees, did it ever suggest to the judicial court or to the magistrate judge that remediation of his ultimate property was necessary to secure administrative closure of its own property.
And haven't these two parcels been treated by the parties and by the IEPA as a single property? I mean, it's been standing. The IEPA isn't going to grant closure with respect to the JMS property until the Dolphman property is remediated.
Well, back in early 1998, a decision was made by a business decision by Bulk and Mr. Dhaliwal to enter both properties into one single program for economy reasons and for efficiency reasons. And at the time, in early 1998, Bulk and Mr. Dhaliwal were responsible for two properties, the Zeltman property and the Zeltman consent decree, as well as the JMS property and the JMS consent decree. That's no longer the case. In fact, there are no issues relative to the Zeltman property. There are no issues relative to enforcement of the Zeltman consent decree. The only thing outstanding are issues related to enforcement of the JMS consent decree.
Do we have any idea how long it might take for the two properties to be separated in IEPA proceedings so that the IEPA might be convinced to close the JMS property independently of the Zoltman property?
My understanding is that it's a matter of submitting an application for the correct environmental program operated by the IEPA, and that would be the site remediation program, the voluntary site remediation program. It's actually expressly provided for in the JMS consent decree. So it's a matter of submitting an application, severing the parcel from the JMS parcel.
And has Bulk taken any action to sever the JMS and Salton properties?
Well, as of February 2002, Your Honor, and actually dating back to before that, dating back to June of 2001, when the magistrate judge issued his report and recommendation, Bulk was essentially divested of any right or opportunity to take any further action relative to the JMS parcel.
But between 98 and 01, there was no action by Bulk to sever?
Not to sever, Your Honor. There was an environmental consultant who was in place at the time, ISO Technologies, who during that period between 1998 and June of 2000 submitted applications and reports to the IEPA for consideration and for feedback. When my firm became associated with this particular case, I endeavored to get in touch with ISO Technologies and track down exactly what it had done and what it was necessary to still do relative to this parcel. And ISO Technologies could not be found, which is why we immediately retained a new environmental consultant, United, at the time. I see I'm almost out of time, Your Honor. I'm going to reserve the last couple of moments for rebuttal, unless Your Honor has further questions.
Mr. Cook.
Thank you.
Mr. Cameron.
May it please the Court, Seth Cabron for JMS Development. I just want to make a few brief points, Your Honors. There is no final order. As Your Honors noted, the damages have not been assessed. Mr. Cook said repeatedly that we had said how much it would cost. That was strictly an estimate, which was required to determine how much should be put in escrow. And whether all of that will be used, whether more will be used, is an open question. The remediation is not complete. The bills have not been tallied. Now, the other aspect, was it necessary to link the two properties for at the present time? Mr. Cook went before the magistrate in January, and he said the only way to get JMS its NFR letter is through the Zaltzman property. That is what he told Magistrate Judge Keyes. The transcript of that proceeding was before the district court when he ruled in February that remediation of the Zaltzman, the source property, was necessary. We submit that that judicial admission is sufficient. That is not alone. There are many other judicial admissions in the record. One other point.
By the way, does anybody use the phrase clean up anymore? Everybody seems to talk this hideous bureaucratic jargon of remediate things as if the land needed to go to a hospital and heal.
I note Your Honor's puzzlement. My computer keeps telling me that there is no such word on its spell checker. I have another case where
Listen
we are using
to
the word
your computer.
One other point, though, I wish to address, which is prior to February, all along, Bulk had put the two properties together. They say that was for their business purposes. Whatever those purposes were, the consent decree said, do it separate. Our consent decree said, our property is to be separate. They linked them together. We brought that to the district court's attention, and they said repeatedly, again and again over a period of time, the only appropriate way to do this is through the LUST program, Leaking Underground Storage Tank program, which would put the properties together. They said it's the only appropriate way. Then very late in the game, they said, oh no, now they must be severed. The district court held them to their word. That's really what this case is about, should Your Honors get to the merits.
How difficult do you think it would be to have the two properties separated in the IEPA proceedings so that closure for the JMS property could be accomplished or pursued, I guess, independently of the Goldman property?
At this point, Your Honor, because there was no stay pending appeal, so remediation has gone on under those orders. At this point, the cat is pretty much out of the bag. If this were an option from day one, had this been looked at before, I don't know. I think the record really doesn't speak to that, except for the passage of time, which was 4+ years, where my clients waited for the remediation that they were promised in the consent decree. I can only say bureaucracies can take a while, and Mr. Cook, before the magistrate judge in January, said the most expeditious manner, words to the effect that the most expeditious manner is through the Zaltzman property, and that is why they were attempting to purchase the Zaltzman property. Unless Your Honors have any further questions, I would simply ask that the district court be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Crook, anything further?
Briefly, Your Honor. A couple of points. Counsel noted on several occasions that judicial admissions, and in particular my judicial admissions at a certain status hearing, have now bound my client, and that those judicial admissions were something to the effect that it was necessary, or that remediation of his ultimate property was necessary, and proceeding in the LUST program was necessary for the purpose of securing a no further remediation letter. Those representations were never made. In the context of that status hearing, an in-depth discussion occurred laying out exactly what has transpired to date, including his status. One of the things I did say was what I articulated just a brief time ago to this court, and that was, namely, an application should be submitted to the IEPA for the correct program, the voluntary site remediation program. The property should be severed. A separate identification number should be assigned to the JMS property, and then a report should be submitted to the IEPA for consideration to determine what, if any, additional cleanup was necessary. I never indicated that the LUST program is the only way to do so, Your Honor. I'd ask, Your Honor, that the...
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.